Welcome back for the day show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Zilla, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Coming up in a little bit, we'll bring in the entirety of the Nick Sirianni press conference, Wednesday press conference, as the Eagles get set for a game against the Jacksonville Jaguars on Sunday.
The who?
The Jaguars.
Not the Jaguars?
Yeah.
The Jaguars.
There's a lot of people that do the wires thing. It's wars.
It's got to stop.
Jaguars.
Yeah. It's not that difficult. It's U-A-R.
It's a lot of people pronounce it that way.
Oh, I know. I know. So Battle's supposed to be like our voice guy.
Yeah.
Shouldn't he be pronounced like...
You hold our voice kind of a higher standard.
Yeah, I mean, you would think that he would be able to pronounce it or at least workshop it so that he can put it out there pronounced properly.
How do you say it, Hugh? Who did
Jaguars.
You... Yeah, see, and you played for them. You know. Yeah, you were literally a Jaguar.
And if you can't physically do it, just call them the Jags.
Yes.
It's not hard.
If you're struggling, just
call
them.
Is that worse than Jack saying the Bengals?
Oh, yeah.
That's awful. That's
Bengals.
Yeah, that's a tough
Isn't
one.
Isn't that the brace that the women wear, Bengals?
It's an 80s band, too, isn't it?
Yeah, the Bengals.
Yeah.
Or like an Egyptian?
Yes.
Bengals isn't a hard word either.
No, it's not.
I mean, there's some hard words around the NFL. Tagovailoa. I mean, like, there's some hard words around the NFL. We know that.
Mm-hmm. Eric Bieniemy. That's a hard one. That's a hard one. Jaguars.
That one, too.
Yeah, whatever that one.
Yeah, whatever that one was.
If I remember that one correctly, you just were really... You didn't want to say something wrong, and you just...
Yeah, that was a self-censorship.
Yeah, it was.
It's rare when someone stumbles over their words, like, to literally stumble. Like, you almost fell out of your chair trying not to say something wrong.
Yeah, because sometimes, you know, I get comfortable, and cuss words tend to, you know, they rise up. You know, I almost feel like trying to dump it.
Like, you know, when you're passionate about Hassan Reddick or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Something like that.
Hassan Reddick been on four of the freaking football team.
This whole dude telling me that my mattress is going to be here ASAP and then telling me I got to wait to Friday. Yeah, I'm passionate about that.
Yeah, he had a long talk and personal conversation during the break. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's hear from Ross Tucker here. We talked to him yesterday about Jalen Hurts and what he saw from Jalen that was different Sunday compared to the other games this season.
Yep, so two things really jumped out. Number one, and this is big with me, when he decided to run, guys, there was no hesitation. He was decisive. That is huge. You know, just the fact that he got back, it wasn't there, didn't like it, saw an opening, boom, he was gone. That's what I've been looking for, is for him to be more decisive in kind of everything he does, because that's always a good description and example that he knows the offense or is more comfortable. The other thing is, it felt like some of these weeks he was avoiding the middle of the field and not throwing it there, and also not really throwing those in-breaking routes into zone coverage, just kind of trying to wait for man-to-man and the fades down the sideline. Boy, he ripped a couple of those, even into some tight windows. By far his best game.
I think that's a great word, Hugh, that Ross used yesterday, decisiveness. Because sometimes with Jalen, it feels like he's caught in between. Am I staying in the pocket? And then what do? Do I buy time? Do I back up? Do I try to get away from a sack? And then sometimes it ends up as a nothing play, or he throws it away, or he takes a sack. And then he tries to run, and maybe it doesn't go anywhere. Sunday, it felt like when he was deciding to throw and stay in the pocket, he stayed, right? And then he threw it. And when he decided to run, which was quite a few times, he just took off and ran. It felt like Sunday... He was dictating the game more than letting the defense dictate it to him.
Yeah, and a lot of times that's what you have to do, Joe. You got to make those decisions quick. It's funny that he said that, because on the other side of the ball, the pass rushers, the way that the Cincinnati Bengals were setting them, they were kind of jump setting, which I mean by that is they were kind of jumping outside, taking away that outside pass rush. If they would have saw that a little bit earlier and jumped inside, they probably could have had a couple more sacks. There was a lot of sacks left on the table because they were afraid. The tackles for the Cincinnati Bengals, they were afraid of the speed of the Philadelphia Eagles. So once they start to recognize that, they'll be okay. But you can't – the bottom line is this, long talking a little bit. You have to make those decisions quick, because those holes and those gaps close up quick.
They do. Black Gritty's up next. What's up, Black Gritty?
The Bengales and the Jack Ware. I got it nailed down. First of all, Hugh – you better watch what you said about Ben Kirko. You want them lemon pepper wangs, you know what I mean? Atlanta's run by a new gangster out there.
I was showing Joe. I was like, he talking about we fighting no cap. We run your trap. We run up in your trap. We take your trap.
I'm just saying, you want them wangs, you're going to have to take them.
Man, yeah, I got. Hey, listen, I got to start calling folks and let them know I'm in the city now because Kurt didn't took over.
Hey, Lord knows. And Bizarro Joe, I'm on you. If you don't let this Brock Purdy, are you watching football, bro?
Yeah.
They're 4-4 getting saved by their defense. They just beat the Cowboys. Like, shut up about Brock Purdy, bro. Like, I'm serious, bro. I'm about to ship you off.
He's a good quarterback.
Don't make him come down here.
Listen, all I said is he's a good quarterback.
Get him, BJ.
He's an average, okay quarterback with the Shanahan system. Plug and play. Everybody over there does the same thing. Besides Trey Lance, that guy, he sucks.
Now he's bad. Man, yeah.
Everybody you stick in there works out. So shut up about dang old Brock Purdy. You make me sick. Now back to something that you and I know very well, Joe Giglio. Back when you used to hang up on me. Oh, we're back to the days of Calandra clowns and Brett clowns and just absolutely embarrassing ownership from the Philadelphia 76ers. That call earlier, It really is embarrassing. This is the first time in 5 years I'm not seeing a ticket holder no more. Like, what does Elton Brand do? I want to be that when I come back. I want to get that job to just get paid and do nothing. Nice people everywhere, right? But they lied to your face. You gave this guy an extension for absolutely no reason. You're right, Hugh. It must be a parachute. What video does he have on somebody? You know what I mean? Does he have the ownership on there doing something with P. Diddy? Like, I really need to know why this guy got an extension.
Yeah, that's wild.
He went out there and didn't get that. He wanted to play in the Olympics so bad. So much so, you put the rest of your career in jeopardy to go out there with a super team that was going to win without you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you couldn't wait another four. Oh, yeah, because you probably won't be playing 4 years. So this was your only time to get on an Olympic team. It's gross and sickening, and it drives me crazy. Now, Jalen Hurts, he's closer to being what you saw this weekend, because I looked at the rest of the schedule, than he is from being farther away from it. So get on board the train if he was jumping off. I want Seth Joyner to talk on Twitter like he talks on the radio. Because one bad pass early in the quarter, and Seth was out on Jalen Hurts forever. And he got on his radio station and sounded like a rational human being. I love it. I like it. And Hugh, he's about to down.
We going to do it. They can't. They be done. No, he riding the bus.
Get that bus ready, Black Gritty.
He ain't riding no bus.
Man, could you imagine what the demand for the spots on the bus? We're headed to New Orleans.
No, this ain't going
to
be no demand. It's only one seat.
Your brother's driving?
No, it's only one seat. Yet? No, I haven't talked to him yet. Only going to be one seat that needs to be filled. Now, the rest of it is luggage.
The problem is now is that there's issues with the afternoon show and our relationship.
Well, that's
you might have to abandon Ike and
abandon. You know
we'll get to them, especially that top 5-5 man. Yesterday, which was a little bit much.
I can't abandon Ike.
He might be abandoning you.
Well, is Ike good to go on the bus, or does he just want to go ride with you?
No, this is me.
But I think you missed
lines in the sand have been drawn yesterday, Hugh. Yeah,
you missed the reality here. That your trip that you planned with Ike is over. We're taking a bus down to New Orleans, and we're taking our listeners.
Yeah, we're commandeering
this. My co-host, he hijacked my trip.
Well, because I see an opportunity for the show. And I mean, so could you imagine the demand? Bus down to New Orleans with Hugh Douglas. Stop in Atlanta for Lemon Pepper Wings.
Let me tell you. I saw Herb the other night, right?
Yep.
Herb was like, yo, you coming to get this couch or what? And I'm like, nah. Herb, I'm good.
Play with me?
But Herb was real aggressive with the couch taking.
You better keep your mouth down.
Herb, and then, Herb was about to put hands on Howard, too.
What?
No. Oh. That's a topic for another hour.
All right, let's go to Nick Sirianni's Wednesday press conference.
What you got, Dallas? Any questions?
Yeah. You already asked?
No, they might not be.
You playing?
Should have asked Dallas how he's doing.
Nick, got a video of you giving a team meeting, and you said to the team, sometimes you, sometimes me, always us. I was just curious why you decided this week was the week to deliver that message.
Yeah, you know, I think in football, everything, you know, one thing I talked about on Saturday was like, hey, here's always going to be these keys, but in football, it's always going to come down to, you know, who's the toughest. It's always going to come down to who's most detailed, and it's always going to come down to who has the best team. Like, and I don't mean players, I mean team, right? And that's just never going to change in football. And so that was just one of the things I used to talk about team. I talked a little bit about detail. I talked a little bit about toughness, and then that was one thing I used from team. I actually got that from Johnny Wilson. He had a shirt on that said that. I thought it was pretty cool.
Speaking of toughness, you've had Saquon's done it, Devontae's done it, AJ does it all the time, but finishing off runs near the sideline. But like, what's the teaching? How do you teach your receivers to like not put themselves in a situation where maybe they could get hurt or lose the ball by continuing their runs after the catch?
Yeah, you want to be physically tough in everything that you do. There's a time and place to step out of bounds. There's a time and place to put your head down and finish the run. And when you do put your head down and finish a run, it brings a lot of energy to the sideline. It brings a lot of energy to the game, you know, just like a big-time catch would. And the energy that happens on the sideline, you know, we show those. We actually show those and be like, hey, here's our standard of how we finish on the sideline. Now, I've had receivers that were smaller receivers that I didn't want them to do that at all times. But, you know, Devontae is so tough. AJ's tough. Saquon's tough. Dallas, right? Dallas, I think if you really go back and look at all of Dallas's clips, when he has an opportunity to go out of bounds or be violent on the sideline, he's choosing to be violent, and it sparks your team. It's like a big hit. Like, I think the same similar question would be, Jeff, would be like, how do you teach a guy to knock the crap out of somebody or just get them down, right? And it's the same deal. As far as the ball security goes, you're always thinking about how you have the ball in your outside arm. That way you can do what you need to do on the sideline. Like if you have the ball in your inside arm, it's hard to play pound on the sideline, or it's hard to use your stiff arm on the sideline. So we always teach the ball security of having it on your outside arm. So that way, if you do have a fumbling issue, something that pops out, at least it pops out to the side of the, to where the out of bounds is.
Nick, you mentioned that on the radio that Doug was helpful to you during your transition to head coach. Can you just expand on that a little bit? Like, in what ways was he helpful?
Yeah, you know, again, I always want to keep conversations that I have with other people private. And, you know, I just felt like he was helpful with me, with people on the roster and how the building is and just everything. I just felt like, you know, it's just something that I always admired. I always try to put myself in that scenario. I'm like, would I help? And I think with my, I don't know. I just don't know if I have that in me to do that. And I admire people that do. And hopefully, I'm teasing when I say that, but hopefully I can pay that back for other coaches. I think that's what's cool about the coaching fraternity, is that like we all got here because of other coaches and that the time that they put into us to help us get better, and we need to pay that forward. And so I always admire Doug for that, and I'll try to do the same.
And can you talk about the physicality of your team? Does that come from an emphasis on it, or does it come from just having players who are physical?
Both. Definitely both. I think it starts for sure like with having players that are physical. But everything you want to be has to be emphasized. If you want to be a team that protects the ball well, you got to emphasize it. You want to play it, just like I'm talking about with the, you know, the clips on the sideline. I'm going to show it. You know, I'm going to show Smitty lowering his head on the sideline and not lowering his head. He can't do that, but lowering his shoulder on the sideline and finishing the run. Because I know that's just one piece of it. Like we're talking about the, you know, Jeff asked me about the finishing on the sideline. That's just one piece of it. You know, the slice block where you come across the line of scrimmage and have to throw your body, when a tight end has to throw his body into a defensive end, you know, that's part of it, right? And so it's hard to, like, turn it off and say, okay, on this I'm going to be super tough and on this I'm not. But, like, I have the picture of Grant in my office now of the New Orleans game where he came across and threw his body into the defensive end to allow Saquon to score the touchdown to help put us up. You know, you talk about that with the way you are physical as blockers, the way you tackle, the way you get off blocks. Like, there's no, like, getting off blocks is not, there's never going to be some, it's not a way that it's a football thing, right? It's something that is designed to, you know, you have to strike somebody in the chest. And not only that, you have to take your hands and then throw them off you and finish with an arm rip or whatever you need to do, or your hand swipes to finish and to be able to go tackle the ball carrier. So, like, everything in football has to do with this. So, like, if I talk about football and it's always about team, it's always about physicality, it's always about detail, well, then I have to emphasize that. But, again, make no mistake about it, that we look for that. When, you know, Howie and I talk about that all the time. We're looking for players that are physical football players because we know this is a physical game. And I think that I always feel like when we've played our best here is when we've really set the tone physically. But you can't do that without the players that we have. So I do think it's a both and, but, you know, all the credit goes to the players because they're the ones out there doing that with their body.
Nick, in the past year, you guys suffered when Dallas went down receiving yards-wise from your tight end position. Fran's obviously picked that up. Was there something you saw from him through training camp or through the offseason that has led him to be able to contribute that way?
Yeah, I think it all started with Grant when we first got him and what we liked so much about him. I remember the rookie minicamp. Grant made some really unbelievable plays in rookie minicamp where we're like, yeah, we got something here. And we thought that obviously why we drafted him from his tape, but then you know I think that he's you know and opportunities that he's had here and there he's made the most of it, and then I think he just had an outstanding offseason. You know the OTAs portion of it, I think we've really started to just have more and more faith in Grant because of the work that he put in, because of the development that he had done. You know, Jason Michael's done a great job of helping him develop, and Grant's done a great job developing himself. Dallas takes a big pride into helping his teammates become better. And then he had, you know, a good training camp, and now he has this opportunity. He had this opportunity with Dallas down to have some balls thrown to him, and he's done a really nice job. And so, again, that guys taking advantage of their opportunities is huge. Like for their, not only for your football team, right? Because guys are going to go down. Like Fred has stepped in and done a nice job. Tyler Steen stepped in and did a nice job. You know, Grant, Isaiah. It's huge for your football team, but it's also huge for these guys and their careers moving forward.
On Steen, you entered training camp on right guard, saying you didn't have to make a decision. You know, you've gotten offensive production with Becton or Steen in there. How do you view that position when they're both in the game, and how do you view that position now, 7 games in the season?
Yeah, we have great depth. Again, credit to Howie and his staff for the guys that they brought in here. Credit to Coach Stout. To developing that and Kellen to help develop that talent, and then the credit to the guys being ready to step in. And I think that, you know, Tyler played a really good game. Mekhi's been playing really good football. Tyler played a really good game. Tyler, you know, played a good game last year when he stepped in and helped us win a division game last year. And then, but yeah, I have a lot of faith in both of them. And you know, it's been. Those guys having those combo blocks with Lane have been exciting to watch, and when those guys have combo blocks with Cam, they've been exciting to watch. Again, going back to the physicality of how those guys play.
Nick, you just mentioned all the backups who've had to play bigger roles. How do you get guys to buy in to being backups and preparing like they're going to play, even though they might not?
Yeah, you know, you talk about it. I think first and foremost, you tell everybody what their role is, and I think that's just the honesty of being, hey, here's what your role is, but understand that in this game that any moment, at any time, your role can change, and you can have an elevator role, and you could also have a decreased role if you're not, you know, performing the way you need to in practice. And so it's like, we talk a lot about practice and how you get better is that high intensity of practice. Well, these guys are going, you know, for instance, Tyler, you know, is going against Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, Milton Williams in practice frequently on the scout team to help himself, you know, to help them get ready, but also to help himself get better. And then you celebrate it when the guys do come in and they perform. Like, that's not new. Like, I think back a long time, like Jack Driscoll has stepped in and played some meaningful games for us that have helped us win a lot of football games. Nate Herbick, name from the past that helped us. I mean, the list goes, you know, Landon wasn't starting right away, right? And then he came in and he ran with that. Cam, right? And so the stories are endless and all – again, you talk a lot about controlling what you can control. Okay, You didn't win this starting job, but now control what you can control and just continue to be better, get better. And when it's your numbers called, you got to take advantage of that by the preparation. And you never really know when that's going to happen, so you always got to be prepared. And that's why every week is so critical of putting your head down and working and not worrying about anything else other than the things that you can control. I mean, shoot, I think that you talk to our players and they're going to say, I mean, I think that'd be something that they would say a bunch is like, you create a culture and you create a mindset of all these things that are important. I think that's been one thing that's been really important.
We saw Jalen get late into some of his progressions, maybe a little more so this past week than previously.
Say that one more time, Jeff.
Some of Jalen's completions were late into his progressions. Did you notice that? And has there been
like number two, three, four receiver?
Yeah.
I think he did.
You guys been working on help him in that regard?
Yeah, I think that's just the him getting through his read and getting to the guy that's open. Again, you always want to be on attack and you always want to go to where you want to throw the ball, but that's not the reality of playing quarterback. And so, I thought it was really good. I thought what he did really well, particularly in this game, is like when he had that time. Like I think there was one that he hit AJ over the middle that he had to hold on to and let the second window clear. That doesn't happen without the protection of the offensive line and the run action of the running back and the quarterback. And so, and then just from that, it's just something that we've seen him do, and particularly in practice. I know last week he got down to his check down multiple times, and then it showed up. It's awesome when it shows up in the game. I just think, again, he's playing quarterback at a high level. Playing quarterback at a high level is not just, throwing the ball accurate. It's going to the right place with the ball, and the right place with the ball could be their third and fourth read.
What's the last year about how specific roles, on the conversation of specific roles, what is Jahan Dotson's role?
Yeah, again, I don't get into with you guys as far as this is this person's role. That's kind of something that I have with our team of, hey, this is what your role is. This is what your job description is. Here's what we need you to do. What I will say, though, is that I know the ball didn't come to Jahan on Sunday, but I did notice him blocking his butt off and helping our run game go, helping. I think there's a play on Saquon's bubble that we threw to him that he got a block that allowed Saquon to, he played tough and played strong and was able to, to get that block. And I see him improving every day, just being around the guys that he's around. Aaron Moorhead's doing a good job, and he's doing a good job of getting better.
When Doug was helping you out with the roster, did you get a sense like how excited he was, or if he was excited about Jalen's future?
Yeah, again, that's a long time. I don't want to get too much into the conversation. Again, Doug helped me, just talk through things, other coaches, all everything. And so, I don't want to get too much into that conversation. But I know Doug thought, you'll have to ask Doug. I think he thought Jalen was pretty darn good, though.
Two more folks?
Last year, you said that a point differential is not something you pay as much attention to. But these double-digit wins from an isolated game perspective, does that matter? Do you think that says something about a team when you can win big?
I always I think we look a lot at things and like, man, that team won a really gritty game. And we celebrate that, and I think that we celebrate at times when you win by a couple scores and you're able to get your starters out. So a win's a win, and they're hard to come by in this league. Right now we got five of them. We got two non-wins, and we're going to continue to try to work this week to get the sixth one.
You mentioned Cam a couple times. Somewhat large sample size now. He had big shoes to fill. We kind of don't even talk about him now because he's playing so well. Anything surprising about Cam and his ability to step into that role?
I think that there were questions. There weren't questions on Cam being able to do that role because, bless you, because we got to see him play last year. It wasn't that was a really unique thing that Cam was able to go through of being Jason's backup for a year and then being playing alongside Jason and then, taking Jason's spot when Jason retired. And so, I think we all expected Cam to do this because we've seen him play at a high level. And it was just, it's going to be a little different that he's playing a different position, but yeah, no surprises on our end, and really pumped out Cam's playing, and you just got to keep going.
Nick, after the Bengals game, Jalen talked about the desire to have more of an imposing mentality as a team. He said it's something that he's been pushing for. What's an example of how he's pushed for that?
Yeah, I think when you know imposing, I think we've talked a lot about that with our physicality and how we go about trying to win games. And like I said, every time we've been good here is and played at our best, we've been a physical football team, and because of the men in this room and so we're always constantly talking to Jalen about. And Jalen's always constantly talking about to us about what's comfortable with, what he feels good about, and you're just always trying to put him in positions to succeed. And so I think it's just the conversations you have throughout the week with the quarterbacks and coaches.
All right, thank you.
All right, there it is, the Nick Sirianni press conference. I'll talk about physicality, the play of Jalen Hurts. We'll continue to react to it. This hour sponsored by Popeyes. It's football season in Philly, so fly to Popeyes, fly and fill up on wings and seven delicious flavors from Popeyes. All right, coming up, you guys with us, 215-592-9494. Do you expect that Jalen Hurts, the one we saw Sunday, the rest of this season? Hugh does. I'm not there. That's a very high bar for me. Your reaction to the latest report on Joel Embiid's injury and a what if Wednesday. This is a fun one considering who's coming back to town this week. 215-592-9494.
Yes, it's happening. I feel good about this, man. He's about to die, rolling up and trucking. We going to do what they say can't be done. We got a long way to go and a short time to get there. He's bound and watch old bandit run.
Oh, my gosh.
I ain't
awful.
Thinking about y'all. This song is awesome.
Get that bus gassed up.
No, we ain't riding no bus.
A whole busload of WIP listeners.
We might do a four-seater, but we're going to treat it like a two-seater.
Four-seater?
Yeah.
No,
everybody can't go.
No, I'm thinking
the eclectic group of individuals that you try to bring on this trip, man. It just ain't gonna jive with what I'm trying to do.
Play with me?
I know Herb. Yeah, Herb trying to butter me up with the couch.
I'm just looking up how many people on a typical travel bus. 50 people or so. I think we get 50, 55 people on there.
Man, I ain't riding with 50 individuals.
The dirty 50.
That's
the
right.
The dirty 50. Yeah, crazy.
Listen, every 25 years or so, we need to get a group of people on a bus and obviously cause a scene wherever we go, and it'll be talked about on WIP for 25 years after that.
Yes.
So this time, you're leading the charge.
Yes.
My cow last.
The question is, if this happens, where along the route does the dirty 50 become like, it's have its signature
legendary
moment? Yeah, because we know what happened when Donovan was drafted with a dirty 30. Is it actually in New Orleans for the Super Bowl? Is it that stop off to get the lemon pepper wings? Like, where is the moment?
I don't know. Carolina might be a little bit of an issue.
Yeah?
Yeah. Carolina's
I feel like we start with 50, and by the time we get to New Orleans, it's down to about like 43.
Now, is
most.
That because of arrest? Is that because of
just
various hospital stays?
Yeah, various okay. Different roadblocks.
Well, people have to sign a waiver before they get on. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. All right, Jalen Hurts. Little temperature check today on a Wednesday on the Eagles quarterback.
Played hot.
Great. Well, he was hot on Sunday. I mean,
yeah,
that was an awesome game. His best game of the season. Do you expect that the rest of the season, Hugh Douglas? Do you expect Sunday's version of Jalen Hurts the rest of the year?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
High bar, Hugh. It's a high bar.
I do. I
high
expect
bar,
it.
Hugh.
Yeah. I mean, because I'm not expecting anything from Jalen that Jalen's not expecting from himself. And the way that he plays, he's the guy for the job. And that's how I kind of look at it. So, yeah, I'm expecting the same thing Jalen is expecting from himself.
Look, I expect Jalen to continue to ascend and the offense get more comfortable here, you know, with Kellen Moore's offense.
But totally agree.
I don't expect that kind of play every week. I really don't. I think he'll play well. And the next 5 or 6 weeks, he plays a lot of teams that do not have very good defenses, starting with the Jaguars on Sunday night. So I expect him to play better than he did in September. But, boy, that's a very high bar to say Jalen Hurts could keep playing that way. Because, you know, we've seen plenty of quarterbacks. Plenty of pretty good, decent, average, whatever word you want to use. Quarterbacks have a game like Jalen. Have a good game here or there. It's that sustaining it. That's what 2022 was. That's why he was so great. He did it basically every week. Can he do it again? 215-592-9494. Where are you on Jalen? Obviously, you could chime in on the latest Sixers nonsense. A report came out today from The Athletic. We know they were fined $100,000 yesterday for, you know, what was the word that Shams used? Misleading or whatever?
Lying.
Yeah, lying.
Let's just keep it short form. Lying.
Let's keep it there. According to The Athletic today, this is a quote. While it is true Embiid did not suffer a new injury to his surgically repaired left knee during the Olympics, the knee was unstable enough that there was concern about further damage being done if Embiid played last week. So that's
hey,
where
yo, the hell with the Sixers,
uh-huh.
Man.
That's where we're all at as we welcome Tobias Harris back to town tonight. Hugh, don't you dare cheer for him tonight.
I'm not.
Okay. There's not going to be a video tribute, right? We're not doing that.
It probably will be.
No.
It's not that I'm doing it.
Hugh's going to be in it.
I'm not going to be in it. But
defending him.
The way this team has been acting, or the way that they've been handling things up until this point, yeah. Would it surprise you if they did that?
No.
Seriously.
I would be surprised if they didn't. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah.
When you look up tone deaf in the dictionary, it's just the Sixers logo.
Man, they gave a man with a crunchy knee 190 million yams. Like, I played the wrong sport.
Are you going to do the hate watch parlay for Tobias Hugh?
The hate. See, listen.
Yeah, you're Mr.
You
got to
take
lately.
All of his unders tonight and put it in a parlay.
I'm not good at the basketball parlay.
No, I know what this
but
is.
But this isn't a basketball parlay. This is just fading.
This is
Tobias.
A hate watch parlay.
It's a hate. I'm not good at the parlays with hate because $2.
Yeah, because
that's,
you don't hate.
That's the $2.
You
I don't like throwing away money. So I don't I'm not going to throw away $2.
No, this is Tobias we're talking about.
You know,
here.
Did you know this, that FanDuel put one together? You know how they have like the ones that are made? So it's six. I just went on the app. I just went on FanDuel, and they have a Sixers money line, Tobias under points, Tobias under rebounds, Tobias under assists, plus 440.
Congratulations, Tobias Harris.
Thank Tobias. Parlay. Let's get back to the phone lines. 215-592-9494. And then we got to do a little what if Wednesday. Would a certain individual come back to town this week? Kenny from the aforementioned Dirty 30. Hey, Kenny.
You guys are out of your mind.
Oh, I know. I'm well aware.
What part?
Let's recap, Pew. The first time you guys, the station, did a bus trip to New York for the draft, we got banned from ever going to the draft. The second time we did a bus trip to D.C., two people didn't even make it back. They ended up in the hospital.
Oh.
Not to mention the damage to the bus, not to mention the damage to the buildings, not to mention how crazy we are. And by the way, sign me up. I'm in.
Oh, see, we got a seat for Kenny reserved right now.
We're older now. We should know how to act.
Come on.
For the most part.
Yeah, you're funny.
Be realistic.
You're funny.
Yeah, we should know how to act.
The minute that bus gets boarded, we're going to revert back to being 20 years old and acting a fool. You know it. I know it. And sign me up.
See, how could you say no to Kenny, Hugh? This is why
Kenny, you can't ride with us.
No. What do you mean?
Whoa.
Kenny has a spot.
And I love Kenny. Kenny gave me some gravy that was awesome.
Me too. About a year ago.
Ride. Yeah, oh, man. Because it's like, Kenny, the things are going to happen that everybody don't need to be privy to on this road trip.
But Kenny's a big enough man to handle it.
Ike's my partner in crime.
Yeah, I can come too, Hugh. This is a bus trip.
Ike's the only one that's coming.
No.
I feel betrayed, to be honest with you.
It's unbelievable.
Wait a minute. See how this goes? Like, a couple weeks ago, you were okay with it.
We know whose corner you're in.
See how this goes. See, now you got Kenny into all of this. The silo, everybody's in a silo now because of something that Jack did. I ain't got nothing to do with Jack. Insecurities.
Kenny, don't listen to him. You got to see it in the bus, all right?
Hey, you listen, Hugh, we went to spring training together. I know how you roll.
We did go to spring training.
He knows. He knows about you. Kenny, good phone call.
That was a long time ago.
I don't think you're recognizing the demand for seats on this bus. Eagles make the Super Bowl. We put together a bus trip to New Orleans. The demand would be bigger than anything else.
Aren't you a team player? Stop being selfish.
How about you?
It's not about you and Ike.
We did go to spring training.
Now, did we commandeer your idea and twist it around? Yeah.
Yes, you did.
That's what we do.
Yes, you did.
Now, you get credit for coming up with the idea of driving there, but we just made it bigger. That's all.
No, it's just, you know, it's going to get weird. It's going to get weird, Joe.
Good.
It's going to get weird.
That's the whole point.
Yes, and if we lose a few people, are you new here?
Well, listen, it was always going to get weird, but it's going to get weirder.
I would have rode him until he told me no.
Weirder.
Listen, are you worried about collateral damage? We lose a few people.
Yes, I am.
But you sign
I'm
a,
not.
Everyone signs a waiver before they hop on. If you don't make it back, you can't sue Odyssey.
Ike is so much more than just the co-pilot.
So you want Ike there because he's responsible.
Yes, exactly.
We don't want that.
And Ike can stay home.
Exactly.
That's a problem.
Ike is going to be the cat that when I start to, you know what I mean?
Wait a second.
We're anti-responsibility.
Like, hey, come on back.
You say that until the Ike juice starts flowing. We saw him sing the Sixers song. We know what happens when the Ike juice is flowing.
When the Ike juice is flowing, Ike is always, he's always playing chess. See, after the juice get to flow off me, it's checkers all day.
Straight checkers.
It's connect four. It's connect four all the way. Yeah.
Let's go to Bruce in D.C. What's up, Bruce? Bruce!
Moment too big for him.
The lights. I thought Bruce was a red light player.
The moment was
I
too
thought
big
he was.
For him.
I'm disappointed. Josh in Wilmington, I know he's a red light guy. What's up, Josh?
Yo, red light here, baby. What's happening,
what's
boy?
Going on,
hey,
man.
Josh.
Oh, man. So, listen, first and foremost, I was talking to Kyle, you know, the screener, and I said...
So much disrespect. That's
and
funny.
I said to him, shut up, man. Yeah, well, come on, Kyle. So, listen, I said to him, I said, listen, I would like to submit my application as the Midday Show mailman, official mailman. I'm out on these streets. I'm in my truck right now. Curbside delivering, and I figure if we're doing it, I might as well be the official mailman. So I would consider my application submitted.
Oh, that's good to hear.
A mid-daysman mailman,
because we don't have an official mailman. Not yet.
No, I would like to throw my hat into that ring, and I mean, I'm only loyal to this show. You're the only show I call. because I relate to you guys. You know what I mean? The three of you, I should say, crack me up on the daily, and you're part of my day. So
we appreciate us being part of your day, bro.
Yeah.
How about that? Me and Hugh and the screener, all part of your day here.
The screener. The man with no name. Call him Kyle every day.
The whole Sixer thing is a joke. And I don't want to do it too long, is say one thing, and that is, where's Daryl Morey? Crickets, dude. Help your head coach out and you talk. You know what I mean? Now, don't get me wrong. I think that Nick Nurse acting and going about things the way that he did, you know, it's a little too early for him to be doing that. But, you know, yo, Daryl Morey, where you been, dude? Help out your head coach as he's trying to put the team on the floor to win games. And the circus that is created, I mean, the only thing missing is funnel cakes and elephants, funnel for crying out loud. It's just a mess. So, and then the Jalen Hurts stuff. Listen, I'm a huge fan, and you guys know that. And what this dude has is pedigree, and, you know, he's got a knack for winning games. And I think that we're starting to see an uptick. And just by the way that he is going about his business, I mean, look, he's 26 years old. You know what I mean? Look, Hugh, I'm in with you. We're going to New Orleans. Like, I'm confident enough now, knowing how the season is unfolding, that this offense is doing nothing but getting better. And then to have the support of the defense right behind it, it's just awesome. It's awesome.
Well, defense has played so much better, Josh, the last few weeks. I mean, ever since Cooper DeJean got in there and they got those young corners out there, they're playing great. All right, Josh, you're the official mailman. I think it's the only submission, and we appreciate the call. Only
mailman submission?
He's the only one so far. So.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, the screener will take your application over.
Yeah, okay. All right. I mean,
yeah, that hit a nerve
right
there.
It got you earlier. Who was it earlier that did
it? It was Marple Mack.
Marple Mack. Because
don't be
Marple, well, Marple Mack's a little annoyed at all of us. I could feel it.
Yeah, he don't fool me at all.
And he kind of swatted you guys away and really he took it out on me. I had to handle
and
it.
And I think the only reason he talks to Joe because he has to actually talk to somebody on
the
show.
He called me the screener twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Well, he didn't think we took the Cartwright letter seriously.
Well, we didn't.
Well, no, yeah, we definitely did.
Nick Sirianni obviously did not. That's the facts here.
So,
and then you doubled down and asked him who he's been sending letters to, and he didn't want to tell you.
Yeah, I do wonder who. What do we think? It's Nick Nurse?
Nah, it's probably somebody else.
You?
Nah, not me. He for damn sure.
What would you do if you got home today? Got some mail. I got a new place. I got mail. It must be family. The Cartwright letters.
Well, that means Marple Mack knows your address.
Yeah. It'll probably be something mean and hurtful. It'll probably be something he's saying mean
and
hurtful.
You, Hugh.
All right, open it up. It's just a rock. Screw you.
Before we go any further, you know what today is, Hugh, right?
What's today?
Well, it's a Wednesday. It's a What If Wednesday, sponsored by Popeyes. It's football season in Philly, so fly to Popeyes. Fly and fill up on wings in 7 delicious flavors from Popeyes.
It's time for What If Wednesday.
All right, you ready for this one, Hugh Douglas?
Yes.
I got a what if to throw at you. What if back in 2020, the Philadelphia Eagles said, you know what? Don't worry about it, Doug. We're not going to fire you. 2020 season happens. Doug has his first bad year. They go 4-11. But before that, of course, playoff trip, Super Bowl championship. What if the Philadelphia Eagles didn't fire Doug Peterson? Or you could spin it a different way. What if Doug had agreed?
Hadn't written that book.
Or that. Or agreed to change his coordinates. Because that was a lot of the thing. Like it seemed like Doug was going to stay, and then he met with Lurie, and then they were like, nah, we're going a different direction. Some people believe it was they wanted Doug to change his staff. He got a little stubborn, and they said, all right, let's move on. What if Doug never left?
See, this one is interesting, because you say he left, and he had a 4-12 season or something like that?
So 2020, Carson's terrible year, they went 4-11. That was
4-11?
Yeah, 4-11-1.
Okay, because so they were starting to get him up out of here.
Mm-hmm.
I think that since we're playing hypotheticals, he probably would have got some grace because he did win the Super Bowl, and they would have probably brought him back. Now, that's the kicker. He would have came back, but how did that second year play out?
2021. That was the year they went 9-8 with Jalen's first year as a starter.
Okay. I think he would still probably be here. I think that the outcome would probably still be the same.
I agree with you. I don't think the Eagles the last 3 years, now the storylines would have been different, but success-wise, I don't think it would have been much different. Now, part of this, he would have had to agree to change his coordinators, right? Because mm-hmm. it was going the wrong way with the coaching staff.
But he had to buy into what they were selling.
Let's say he goes along with, I don't know, maybe they like Jonathan Gannon from afar. Put Jonathan Gannon as coordinator, the way Sirianni. Like, let's say it's similar to the staff they assembled around Sirianni. I don't think the win-loss record the last 3 years would be much different.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Does Doug pass off the play calling like Sirianni did after 2-5?
He does not. He does not. And would we want him to? Doug was, I think that was probably the best thing Doug did.
I think he was hot that year. I don't know if he was great.
Well, 2019 at the end, he got hot again. He got a little heater. They were throwing a Boston Scott, and who was the Perkins was one of the guys?
Greg Ward.
Mm-hmm. Doug can get on a heater as a play caller.
He can, yeah. Now, does he coach us to victory in 22, the Super Bowl?
Well, I could tell you this much. Doug's not punting on 4th and 2 in the
fourth
quarter.
You're damn right he's not.
No, he's not punting. He's not a quitter.
There's no way. And he's not kicking a field goal in the third quarter either. When A.J. Brown said they knew they would lose that game. Well, then, all right, let's go off one more element to this.
Hypothetical.
Kyle just set it up. Do they win the Super Bowl with Doug as the coach of 2022? If he has 2 rings, you know what we're saying right now.
He's a Hall of Fame
coach. That man's a Hall of Fame coach. 2-ring Peterson.
And everyone in Philadelphia is I told you something about Andy Reid.
Oh, right.
They I can't win the big one.
Well, and it would have been Doug guy that can. Over Andy. Yep.
This story has a lot of layers.
It does.
It
yeah,
definitely has a lot of layers. That's pretty interesting. It is. I think Doug probably could have won a second. Because he had a little bit of a gunslinger mentality, didn't he? You know, hanging out with Brett Favre all those times. That was his best. That's his best bud.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I would think so. Yeah, that sounds pretty interesting.
I love Doug. He's back on Sunday. Yeah.
I hope we kick his ass.
I think they will. I think, well, Doug's on borrowed time right now, coaching the Jaguars. So
he probably don't care.
He probably doesn't.
Probably like, yeah, I did my damage. I got a Super Bowl ring. Got another job after this one.
What do you think Doug does when the Jaguars do fire him? You think it's time to go home now?
Or probably get on TV and start talking. That's what everybody does. Yeah.
Do that. I could also see him being
on board with the Chiefs.
Yeah, he could go back to Andy. I could also see him following the Brian Billick route and just like pop on TV once in a while, do interviews on WIP. That is just like have fun.
Skate his wing. That's it.
I would love Doug as a midday show guest.
Doug UIP.
Oh, it'd be amazing.
That would be dope.
Real talk on the coaching quarterback from Doug. Let's go back to the phone lines here. 215-592-9494. Chuck in Mount Airy is up. Hey, Chuck.
Chuck.
Yo, Gilio, what's the Gilio here?
What's up, man?
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, man, what a wonderful day. Listen, let me say this, right, real quick. Hey, Hugh, I know you don't want nobody going on your trip with you. You're going to make some room for me, buddy. I got some cigars. I got some whiskey I'm bringing along. And we're going to have a good old dog one time going down.
But Chuck, we can't be drinking and while we drive, and that's not –
Whoa,
no,
hold on. The passengers can be. The driver can.
Yeah, well, I guess y'all
can. What do you think's happening on this bus?
No, I'm – yeah, I'm
– Come on now.
I'm driving.
Yeah, we got a designated driver, man.
Yeah, I'm driving.
You're not driving. Man.
Mm-hmm.
His brother's got the CDL, right? He got the drink with us.
You know, I've indoctrinated my brother into this, and I haven't even talked to him.
Tell him honestly, you'll pay him. Don't worry about it.
And we'll pay him. Yeah, exactly, man. We go down that thing, pull up in that thing, like one of those buses.
Let me text my brother. Because I see this is going. This is my idea has just went straight out the window. This turned into something. Let me text him and see what he got going on around that time of year.
Yeah, man, you know, then I can pull up in a Madden bus, man. 94 WIP in the Paulers, man. That thing would be popping, man. We'd make viral news, man. I'm telling you. Talk like Boston. Go watch Eagles play in the Super Bowl.
This has turned into something that I did not expect.
No, it's an official movement now. Yeah, we're all going. Chuck, what do you think about Joel Embiid?
I just want to say, Jalen, first of all, Jalen has turned the corner. I believe he's going to be outstanding for the rest of the season because I think he's starting to learn this offense. And that's the only thing we could have asked for. Not turn the ball over. And just get the ball to the playmakers. It's that simple. You know what I mean? It's that simple. And hand the ball off to Saquon, and he'll be up for MVP discussion by the end of the year. Trust me. His numbers is right on par for that if he continues on his trajectory for the rest of the season. Now, as far as Joel Embiid go, right? Joel Embiid is the biggest loser I've ever seen coming to Philadelphia. Everybody's giving Daryl Morey crap. Only time I give Daryl Morey crap is because he signed this guy. For a longer extension. And Nick Nurse has no interest in the dude what Doc Rivers and Brett Brown did for years, and that's trying to make up excuses for this guy. I feel for Nick Nurse. I'm wondering why the Sixers can get another coach in here. You know, how they get coaches in here to come and want to coach this garbage. Because this is pure garbage. And I'm glad this happened to the Sixers. You know, Joel Embiid is the reason why I hate the 76ers, but I love them because they're my team. I've rooted for them all my life. But I hate this team because of this guy. This guy has a dark cloud over this franchise, and it's going to continue as long as he's here. You know what I mean? They should have traded this guy a few years ago, when he's at his peak, to get something out of him. I don't think he even want to play basketball anymore for the 76ers. Honestly, I think he fleeced us. He got his contract, and now he's going to sit out and do all this stuff. You know what I mean? And you're going to sit this guy out for this long, right? Is this going to make his heart bigger, you know, come playoff time? Is this going to fix his heart? Because I tell you, he can go into the playoffs healthy as all can be, and there's no guarantee that we're going to even get out the second round again because this guy still has a heart that needs to be on a surgery table. You know what I mean? I'm so disappointed in him as a player and the franchise and organization. I'm disappointed because they keep rolling out this circus every year, and I don't know why. It just bothers me.
And
it
people
really
keep buying it, hook, line, and sinker. Chuck, appreciate that. Building's still full. The building, and it'll be full tonight, even though the Pistons and Tobias and whatever nonsense is in the court.
I think people have kind of moved on. I think they're feeling like, you know, now we got the young guys, and we want just to watch Tobias and see what happens with that. There's a coping mechanism going on with this basketball team right now. I know people are upset because it's too much of the same.
Yeah, it's ground. It feels like Groundhog Day every day. 215-592-9494. What do you expect? Jalen Hurts, do you expect him the rest of the season to play like he did on Sunday? Hugh does. I do not. Later on, we will address someone at WIP that seems to be crashing out and the potential reasons that might be. Plus, Elliott Shore Park's next. Midday show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Yes, it's happening. I feel good about this, man. He's about to die, rolling up and trucking. We gonna do what they say can't be done. We got a long way to go and a short time to get there. He's about to watch old bandit run.
Oh my gosh,
I ain't
awful.
Thinking about y'all. This song is awesome.
Get that bus gassed up.
Nah, we ain't riding no
a
bus
whole
now.
Busload of WIP so then, listeners.
We might do a four seater, but we're gonna treat it like a two seater.
Four seater.
Yeah.
No,
everybody
no,
can't go.
No, I'm thinking
the eclectic group of individuals that you try to bring on this trip, man. It just ain't gonna jive with what I'm trying
wanna
to
play
do.
Play with me.
I know Herb. Yeah, Herb trying to butter me up with the couch.
I'm just looking up how many people on a typical travel bus. 50 people or so. I think we get 50, 55 people on there.
Man, I ain't riding with 50 individuals.
The dirty 50.
That's
the
right.
The dirty 50. Y'all crazy.
Listen, every 25 years or so, we need to get a group of people on a bus and obviously cause a scene wherever we go. And it'll be talked about on WIP for 25 years after that.
Yes.
So this time, you're leading the charge.
Yes.
Mike Cowles.
The question is, if this happens, where along the route does the dirty 50 become like it's having signature
legendary
moment? Yeah, because we know what happened when Donovan was drafted with a dirty 30. Is it actually in New Orleans for the Super Bowl? Is it that stop off to get the lemon pepper wings? Like, where is the moment?
I don't know. Carolina might be a little bit of an issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Carolina's
I feel like we start with 50. And by the time we get to New Orleans, it's down to about like 43.
Now,
is
that because of arrests? Is that because of
just
various hospital stays?
Yeah, various different roadblocks.
Well, people have to sign a waiver before they get on. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. All right, Jalen Hurts. A little temperature check today on a Wednesday on the Eagles quarterback.
Hot.
Well, he was hot on Sunday. I mean,
yeah,
that was an awesome game. His best game of the season. Do you expect that the rest of the season, Hugh Douglas? Do you expect Sunday's version of Jalen Hurts the rest of the year?
Absolutely.
It's a high bar, Hugh. It's a high bar.
I do.
Hugh.
Yeah. I mean, because I'm not expecting anything from Jalen that Jalen's not expecting from himself. And the way that he plays, he's the guy for the job. And that's how I kind of look at it. So, yeah. I'm expecting the same thing Jalen is expecting from himself.
Look, I expect Jalen to continue to ascend and the offense get more comfortable here, you know, with Kellen Moore's offense.
Totally agree.
I don't expect that kind of play every week. I really don't. I think he'll play well. And the next 5 or 6 weeks, he plays a lot of teams that do not have very good defenses, starting with the Jaguars on Sunday night. So I expect him to play better than he did in September. But Boy, that's a very high bar to say Jalen Hurts could keep playing that way because, you know, we've seen plenty of quarterbacks, plenty of pretty good, decent, average, whatever word you want to use, quarterbacks have a game like Jalen, have a good game here or there. It's that sustaining it. That's what 2022 was. That's why he was so great. He did it basically every week. Can he do it again? 215-592-9494. Where are you on Jalen? Obviously, you could chime in on the latest Sixers nonsense. A report came out today from The Athletic. We know they were fined $100,000 yesterday for, you know, what was the word that Shams used? Misleading or whatever?
Lying.
Yeah, lying.
Let's just keep it short form. Lying.
Let's keep it there. According to The Athletic today, this is a quote. While it is true Embiid did not suffer a new injury to his surgically repaired left knee during the Olympics, the knee was unstable enough that there was concern about further damage being done if Embiid played last week. So that's
where we're at.
That's where we're all at as we welcome Tobias Harris back to town tonight. Hugh, don't you dare cheer for him tonight.
I'm not.
Okay. There's not going to be a video tribute, right? We're not doing that.
It probably will be.
No, you better prepare. No.
It's not that I'm doing it.
Hugh's going to be in it.
I'm not going to be in it. But
defending him.
The way this team has been acting or the way that they've been handling things up until this point, would it surprise you if they did that?
No.
Seriously.
I'd be surprised if they didn't. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah.
When you look up tone deaf in the dictionary, it's just the Sixers logo.
Man, they gave a man with a crunchy knee 190 million yams. Like, I played the wrong sport.
Now,
man, I played the wrong sport.
Are you going to do the hate watch parlay for Tobias Hugh?
Listen.
Yeah, you're Mr.
You
got to
take
lately.
All of his unders tonight and put it in a parlay.
I'm not good at the basketball parlay.
No, I know what this
but
is.
But this isn't a basketball parlay. This is just fading.
This is a hate watch parlay.
It's a hate. I'm not good at the parlays with hate because $2.
Yeah, because you don't hate.
That's the $2.
You uplift.
I don't like throwing away money. So I don't. I'm not going to throw away $2.
No, this is Tobias we're talking about.
You know,
here.
Did you know this? That FanDuel put one together. You know, they have like the ones that are made. So I just went on the app. I just went on FanDuel, and they have a Sixers money line, Tobias under points, Tobias under rebounds, Tobias under assists, plus 440.
Congratulations, Tobias Harris.
Thank Tobias. Parlay. Let's get back to the phone lines. 215-592-9494. And then we got to do a little What If Wednesday with a certain individual come back to town this week. Kenny from the aforementioned Dirty 30. Hey, Kenny.
You guys are out of your mind.
Oh, I know. I'm aware.
What part?
Let's recap, Pugh. Mm-hmm. The first time you guys, the station, did a bus trip to New York for the draft, we got banned from ever going to the draft. The second time we did a bus trip to D.C., two people didn't even make it back. They ended up in the hospital.
Oh.
Not to mention the damage to the bus, not to mention the damage to the buildings, not to mention how crazy we are. And by the way, sign me up. I'm in.
Oh, see, we got a seat for Kenny reserved right now.
We're older now. We should know how to act.
Come on.
For the most part.
Yeah, you're funny.
Be realistic.
You're funny.
Yeah, we should know how to act. The minute
that bus gets boarded, we're going to revert back to being 20 years old and acting a fool. You know it. I know it. And sign me up.
See, how could you say no to Kenny, Hugh? This is
just
why
like
we...
this. Kenny, you can't ride with us.
No. What do you mean?
Whoa.
Kenny has a spot. Kenny has a spot.
And I love Kenny. Kenny gave me some gravy that was awesome,
Me too. About a year ago.
Because it's like, Kenny, the things are going to happen that everybody don't need to be privy to on this road trip.
But Kenny's a big enough man to handle it.
Ike's my partner in crime.
Yeah, I can come too, Hugh. This is a bus trip.
No, yeah, I'm the only one that's coming.
No.
I feel betrayed,
to be honest with you.
Wait a minute. See how this goes? Like, a couple weeks ago, we were okay with it.
We know whose corner you're in.
See how this goes. Now you got Kenny into all of this. The silo, everybody's in a silo now because of something that Jack did. I ain't got nothing to do with Jack. Insecurities.
Kenny, don't listen to him. You got to see it in the bus, all right?
Hey, you listen, Hugh, we went to spring training together. I know how you roll.
We did go spring training.
He knows. He knows about you. Kenny, good phone call.
I'm looking at a three.
That's a long time ago.
I don't think you're recognizing the demand for seats on this bus. Eagles make the Super Bowl. We put together a bus trip to New Orleans. The demand would be bigger than anything else.
Aren't you a team player? Stop being selfish.
Not about you.
It's not about you and Ike.
We did go to spring training.
Now, did we commandeer your idea and twist it around? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you did.
That's what we do.
Yes, you did.
Now, you get credit for coming up with the idea of driving there, but we just made it bigger. That's
no,
all.
No, it's just, you know, it's going to get weird. It's going to get weird, Joe.
Good.
It's
going to get weird. That's the whole point.
Yes, and if we lose a few people, are you new here?
Well, listen, it was always going to get weird, but it's going to get weirder.
I would have rode him until
he's
going to
get
no.
weirder.
Listen, are you worried about collateral damage? We lose a few
yes.
people?
Yes, I am.
Well, you sign everyone signs a waiver before they hop on. If you don't make it back, you can't sue Odyssey.
Ike is so much more than just the co-pilot.
So you want Ike there because he's responsible.
Yes, exactly.
We don't want that.
And Ike can stay home.
Exactly.
That's a problem.
Ike is going to be the cat that when I start to, you know what I mean?
Wait a second.
We're anti-responsibility.
Like, hey, come on back.
You say that until the Ike juice starts flowing. We saw him sing the Sixer song. We know what happens when the Ike juice is flowing.
No, even when the Ike juice is flowing, Ike is always, he's always playing chess. See, after the juice get to flow of me, it's just checkers all day.
Straight checkers.
It's connect four. It's connect four all the way. Yeah.
Let's go to Bruce in D.C. What's up, Bruce? Bruce.
Moment too big for him.
Lights. I thought Bruce was a red light player.
The moment was
I
too
thought
big.
He was. I'm disappointed. Josh in Wilmington, I know he's a red light guy. What's up, Josh?
Yo. Red light here, baby. What's happening, boy?
What's going on,
hey,
man?
Josh.
Oh, man. So, listen, first and foremost, I was talking to Kyle, you know, the screener, and I
so much disrespect. That's
and
funny.
I said to him, shut up, man. Yeah, well, come on, Kyle. So, listen, I said to him, I said, listen, I would like to submit my application as the midday show mailman, official mailman. I'm out on these streets. I'm in my truck right now. Curbside delivering, and I figure if we're doing it, I might as well be the official mailman. So I would consider my application submitted.
Oh, that's good to hear.
A middaysman
mailman, because we don't have an official
mailman.
Not yet.
No, I would like to throw my hat into that ring, and I'm only loyal to this show. You're the only show I call because I relate to you guys. You know what I mean? The three of you, I should say, crack me up on the daily, and you're part of my day. So.
We appreciate us being part of your day, bro.
Yeah.
How about that? Me and Hugh and the screener, all part of your day here.
It's the screener. The man with no name. Calling Kyle every day.
The whole Sixer thing is a joke. And all I want to do, and I don't want to do it too long, is say one thing, and that is, where's Daryl Morey? Crickets, dude. Help your head coach out and you talk. You know what I mean? Now, don't get me wrong. I think that Nick Nurse acting and going about things the way that he did, you know, it's a little too early for him to be doing that. But, you know, yo, Daryl Morey, where you been, dude? Help out your head coach as he's trying to put the team on the floor to win games and the circus that is created. I mean, the only thing missing is funnel cakes and elephants,
funnel
crying out loud.
Good.
It's just a mess. So, and then the Jalen Hurts stuff. Listen, I'm a huge fan, and you guys know that. And what this dude has is pedigree, and, you know, he's got a knack for winning games. And I think that we're starting to see an uptick. And just by the way that he is going about his business, I mean, look, he's 26 years old. You know what I mean? He is going. Look, Hugh, I'm in with you. We're going to New Orleans. Like, I'm confident enough now, knowing how the season is unfolding, that this offense is doing nothing but getting better. And then to have the support of the defense right behind it, it's just awesome. It's awesome.
Well, defense has played so much better, Josh, the last few weeks. I mean, ever since Cooper DeJean got in there and they got those young corners out there, they're playing great. All right, Josh, you're the official mailman. I think it's the only submission, and we appreciate the call. Only
mailman submission?
He's the only one so far. So.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, the screener will take your application.
Yeah, okay. All right. I mean,
yeah, that hit a nerve
right there. It got you earlier. Who was it earlier?
It was Marple Mack.
Marple Mack. Because
Marple Mack's a little annoyed at all of us. I could feel it.
Well, yeah, he don't fool me at all.
And well, he kind of swatted you guys away and really he took it out on me. I had a handle.
And
it.
I think the only reason he talks to Joe because he has to actually talk to somebody on the
show. He called me the screener twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Well, he didn't think we took the Cartwright letter seriously.
Well, we didn't.
Well, no, yeah,
well,
we definitely did.
Nick Sirianni obviously did not. That's the facts here.
So,
and then you double down and ask him who he's been sending letters to, and he didn't want to tell you.
Yeah, I do wonder who. What do we think? It's Nick Nurse?
No, it's probably somebody else.
You?
No, not me. He for damn sure.
What would you do if you got home today? Got some mail. I'm at a new place. I got mail. Must be family. The Mark letters.
That means Mark knows your address.
Yeah. Well, it'll probably be something mean and hurtful. It'll probably be something he's saying mean
and
hurtful.
Bleep you, Hugh.
All right, you open it up, it's just a rock. Screw you.
Before we go any further, you know what today is, Hugh, right?
What's today?
Well, it's a Wednesday. It's a What If Wednesday, sponsored by Popeyes. It's football season in Philly, so fly to Popeyes. Fly and fill up on wings in 7 delicious flavors from Popeyes.
It's time for What If Wednesday.
All right, you ready for this one, Hugh Douglas?
Yes.
I got a what if to throw at you. What if back in 2020, the Philadelphia Eagles said, you know what? Don't worry about it, Doug. We're not going to fire you. 2020 season happens. Doug has his first bad year. They go 4-11. But before that, of course, playoff trip, Super Bowl championship. What if the Philadelphia Eagles didn't fire Doug Peterson? Or you could spin it a different way. What if Doug had agreed?
Hadn't written that book.
Or that. Or agreed to change his coordinators. Because that was a lot of the thing. Like it seemed like Doug was going to stay. And then he met with Lurie. And then they were like, nah, we're going a different direction. Some people believe it was they wanted Doug to change his staff. He got a little stubborn. And they said, all right, let's move on. What if Doug never left?
See, this one is interesting. Because you say he left. And he had a 4-12 season or something like that.
So 2020, Carson's terrible year. They went 4-11. That was
4-11?
Yeah. 4-11-1.
Okay, because so they were starting to get him up out of here. I think that, since we're playing hypotheticals, he probably would have got some grace because he did win the Super Bowl, and they would have probably brought him back. Now, that's the kicker. He would have came back, but how did that second year play out?
2021. That was the year they went 9-8 with Jalen's first year as a starter.
Okay. I think he would still probably be here. I think that the outcome would probably still be the same.
I agree with you. I don't think the Eagles the last 3 years, now the storylines would have been different, but success-wise, I don't think it would have been much different. Now, part of this, he would have had to agree to change his coordinators, right? Because it was going the wrong way with the coaching staff.
But he had to buy into what they were selling.
Let's say he goes along with, I don't know, maybe they like Jonathan Gannon from afar. Put Jonathan Gannon as coordinator, the way Sirianni. Like, let's say it's similar to the staff they assembled around Sirianni. I don't think the win-loss record the last 3 years would be much different.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Does Doug pass off the play calling like Sirianni did after 2-5?
He does not. And what do we want him to? I think that was probably the best thing Doug did.
I think he was hot that year. I don't know if he was hot.
Well, 2019 at the end, he got hot again. He got a little heater. They were throwing a Boston Scott. And who was the Perkins was one of the guys?
Greg Ward.
Mm-hmm. Doug can get on a heater as a play caller.
He can, yeah. Now, does he coach us to victory in 22, the Super Bowl?
Well, I could tell you this much. Doug's not punting on 4th and 2 in the fourth quarter.
You're damn right he's not.
No, he's not a punter. He's not a quitter.
There's no way. And he's not kicking a field goal in the third quarter either. When A.J. Brown said they knew they would lose that game. Well, then, all right, let's go off one more element to this.
Hypothetical.
Kyle just set it up. Do they win the Super Bowl with Doug as the coach of 2022? If he has 2 rings, you know what we're saying right now.
He's a Hall of Fame coach.
That man's a Hall of Fame coach. 2-ring Peterson.
And everyone in Philadelphia is I told you something about Andy Reid.
Oh, right.
They I can't win the big one.
Well, and it would have been Doug the guy that can. Over Andy. Yep.
This story has a lot of layers.
It does.
It
of
definitely has a lot of layers. That's pretty interesting. It is. I think Doug probably could have won a second. Because he had a little bit of a gunslinger mentality, didn't he? You know, hanging out with Brett Favre all those times. That was his best. That's his best bud.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I would think so. Yeah, that sounds pretty interesting.
I love Doug. He's back on
Doug.
Sunday. Yeah.
I hope we kick his ass.
I think they will. I think Doug's on borrowed time right now, coaching the Jaguars. So
he probably don't care.
He probably doesn't.
Probably like, yeah, I did my damage. I got a Super Bowl ring. Got another job after this one.
What do you think Doug does when the Jaguars do fire him? You think it's time to go home now?
Or probably get on TV and start talking.
Could do that. I could also see him being
on a board with the Chiefs.
Yeah, he could go back to Andy. I could also see him following the Brian Billick route and just like pop on TV once in a while, do interviews on WIP. That is just like have fun.
Skate his wing. That's it.
I would love Doug as a midday show guest.
Doug UIP.
Oh, it'd be amazing.
That would be dope.
Real talk on the coaching quarterback from Doug. Let's go back to the phone lines here. 215-592-9494. Chuck in Mount Airy is up. Hey, Chuck.
Chuck.
Yo, Gilio, what's the Gilio here?
What's up, man?
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, man, what a wonderful day. Listen, let me say this, right, real quick. Hey, Hugh, I know you don't want nobody going on your trip with you. You got to make some room for me, buddy. I got some cigars. I got some whiskey I'm bringing along. And we're going to have a good old dog on signboard down.
But Chuck, we can't be drinking while we drive, and that's not that's
whoa,
a no-no.
No, hold on. The passengers can be. The driver can.
I guess y'all can.
What do you think's happening on this bus?
No, I'm
Come on now.
I'm driving.
Man, we got a designated driver, man.
I'm driving.
You're not driving. Man.
Mm-hmm. His brother's got the CDL, right? He got to drink with us.
I've indoctrinated my brother into this, and I haven't even talked to him.
Tell him honestly, you'll pay him. Don't worry about it.
And we'll pay him. Yeah, exactly, man. We're going to have that thing pull up in that thing like one of those buses.
Let me text my brother. Because I see this is going. This is my idea has just went straight out the window. This turned into something. Let me text him and see what he got going on around that time of year.
Yeah, man, you know, then I can pull up in a Madden bus, man. 94 WIT in the Paulers, man. That thing would be popping, man. We'd make viral news, man. I'm telling you, talk like Boston. Go watch Eagles play in the Super Bowl.
This has turned into something that I did not expect.
No, it's an official movement now. Yeah, we're all going. Chuck, what do you think about Joel Embiid?
I want to say Jalen, first of all, Jalen has turned the corner. I believe he's going to be outstanding for the rest of the season because I think he's starting to learn this offense, and that's the only thing we could have asked for. Not turn the ball over and just get the ball to the playmakers. It's that simple. You know what I mean? It's that simple. And hand the ball off to Saquon, and he'll be up for MVP in discussion by the end of the year. Trust me, his numbers is right on par for that if he continues on his trajectory for the rest of the season. Now, as far as Joel Embiid go, right? Joel Embiid is the biggest loser I've ever seen coming to Philadelphia. Everybody's giving Daryl Morey crap. Only time I give Daryl Morey crap is because he signed this guy for a longer extension. And Nick Nurse has no interest in the dude what Doc Rivers and Brett Brown did for years, and that's trying to make up excuses for this guy. I feel for Nick Nurse. I'm wondering why the Sixers can get another coach in here. You know, how they get coaches in here to come and want to coach this garbage. Because this is pure garbage. And I'm glad this happened to the Sixers. You know, Joel Embiid is the reason why I hate the 76ers, but I love them because they're my team. I've rooted for them all my life. But I hate this team because of this guy. This guy has a dark cloud over this franchise, and it's going to continue as long as he's here. You know what I mean? They should have traded this guy a few years ago, when he's at his peak, to get something out of him. I don't think he even want to play basketball anymore for the 76ers. Honestly, I think he fleeced us. He got his contract, and now he's going to sit out and do all this stuff. You know what I mean? And you're going to sit this guy out for this long, right? Is this gonna make his heart bigger, you know, come playoff time? Is this going to fix his heart? Because I tell you, he can go into the playoffs healthy as all can be, and there's no guarantee that we're going to even get out the second round again because this guy still has a heart that needs to be on a surgery table. You know what I mean? I'm so disappointed in him as a player and the franchise and organization. I'm disappointed because they keep rolling out this circus every year, and I don't know why. It just bothers me.
And people keep buying it, hook, line, and sinker. Chuck, I appreciate it. That building's still full. The building, and it'll be full tonight, even though the Pistons and Tobias and whatever nonsense is in the court.
I think people have kind of moved on. I think they're feeling like, you know, now we got the young guys, and we want just to watch Tobias and see what happens with that. There's a coping mechanism going on with this basketball team right now. I know people are upset because it's too much of the same.
Yeah, it's ground. It feels like Groundhog Day every day. 215-592-9494. What do you expect? Jalen Hurts, do you expect him the rest of the season to play like he did on Sunday? Hugh does. I do not. Later on, we will address someone at WIP that seems to be crashing out and the potential reasons that might be. Plus, Elliot Shore Park's next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.